Well, amen. He sacrificed his life on Calvary's cross for us so that we might live and be reconciled to God. What a blessing. All right, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Sunday nights we've been going through teaching on the preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And we've been doing this in chronological order, and I trust it's been a help to you as it's a study through the Gospels, and we're just finding that several of the accounts are mentioned in more than one of the Gospels, and is able to read exactly what God has preserved for us so that we can have a better picture of each one of these events. And so last week, we saw how Jesus would heal a woman on the way to restoring life to a little girl. And as he was going through the crowd, the woman approached him, just touched the hem of his garment. And the lesson was, we learned from both of these, that he's never too busy for those who diligently seek him. Amen. And we have to ask ourselves, am I truly and diligently seeking after God and a relationship with him and direction that he has for me? And even as we preached on this morning, for the wisdom that we need in addressing all the issues of life. Well, right after that, we find this is the next account in chronological order, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Now, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Verse 27 down to verse 34. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad this fame in all the country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again tonight, it's a blessing to be in church. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that you made available to all of us to be here. Thank you for your presence in this place and how we've already sensed that for the songs and the specials, and what a blessing has been just to be here and singing praise unto thee. Now we have opened up your holy word and we have read this passage of scripture, and God, I know that you have a message for each one of us. I just pray that each one here would desire that message, that they would open up their hearts and their minds to listen and to receive what you have for them tonight. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, in this passage that we read here tonight in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 down to verse 34, Jesus heals two naturally blind, and then one demonic infirmity. Not all issues of health, not all infirmities are demonic. Not all infirmities are brought on by sin. There are some natural infirmities. And so we find that there's two here, the two naturally blind and one demonic infirmity. And we see here that not all would be healed. The earth was filled with those in need of healing. It always has been. That's because of the sin nature of man. That's because it's appointed unto man once to die. There has been a curse because of sin. Because of the curse, we have infirmities. The older we get, the more apt we are to have infirmities. And eventually, we're living, and every day we're one day closer to death. That's just reality as far as the physical life. If we just focused on that, if that's all there was, would be when we'd all be very miserable. But that's not all there is. No matter if we're healthy, no matter what's going on, if we're here, we have a purpose. We have, God has a will for us being here, and you'll find the joy of the Lord as you find that will and as you give yourself to that purpose, whatever that purpose might be. And I believe as we age, things change because we're not able to do what we used to do, but we are still usable. Amen? We still have purpose, and it's that purpose that continues to get us up every day and to look to God and to accomplish things of eternal value. And that's what's important. I think as we get older, we start realizing the eternal value of life and what we do in serving the Lord. Well, these would be healed. He gives us account of these three, and of these three, two had natural infirmities, and yet one had an infirmity because of a demonic spirit, a demonic infirmity. So first of all here, he presents the two blind men. And I love this because as he presents the testimony of these two blind men, it is exactly what an individual has to do to be saved, as well as have faith to be healed, have faith to be able to get the help that we have need of. And so we find that Jesus is going about and he's preaching and teaching and people are coming around and listening. We find in verse 27 that's what was going on, is that these two had heard him and now they're following after him. They listened and followed after the Messiah. Being physically blind, they didn't see him. Been physically blind, all they could do was hear. And as they listened, they wanted more. Can I tell you that sometimes I think that we would listen more intently if we kept our eyes closed? I don't know, I might be able to preach more intently. And I might preach with more power. I might preach with more focus if I preach with my eyes closed. Because really, I don't need to see the faces of people. Because I preach back to God that which he has given to me to preach from his word. I never want to target any individuals. I don't target and I don't preach to individuals. I'm up here and it's what I've prepared all week long. This morning's message is what I had been preparing all week long. It was on my mind from Monday, and actually even before then, because I a series knowing where I'm going with that, but it's been on my mind all week long, and I've been asking God to empower it. I've been asking God to prepare whoever comes to be able to receive the message that he has for them through the preaching of the word. That's my life. That's what I do every week, and from one sermon to the next. And so sometimes I see people, and it can keep me or discourage me sometimes to be able to say, how could you go to sleep in the house of God? How could you not participate in the music? How could you not be blessed? I mean, sometimes people's response to services can be a hindrance. And the Bible gives us this story of these two blind men. And I'm thinking, they didn't see anything around them. Their hearing intensifies because of a lack of sight. And they would have listened intently to everything that Jesus would have been saying. Wow. And after they listened, they wanted more. When you're being helped, when you're learning and your faith is being strengthened, how can you not want more? When you're being blessed by the music, there's many times I thought, sing that again. I've had to hold myself back because I guess they would do it if I got up and said, sing that again. Yeah. But I know that there's the next song coming up. And then there's the preaching following that. If I take too much time with the music, I have less time to preach. I've got to be careful. But when you're being helped, you just want more. They kept their ears open because that's how they communicate. That's all that they could to get inside. They couldn't see. They just had to listen. And they listened and were blessed. And they realized this is the Messiah. This is truth. This is what we've been looking for and waiting on. And so they followed him, crying and saying, Now, son of David, they believed that he was the Messiah. By them calling him the Son of David, they knew the scriptures. Matter of fact, over in the book of Isaiah, let me just read that to you. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us," this is Old Testament prophecy of Christ, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." They would have known the Old Testament scriptures. They would have known what would take place when the Messiah would come. And now they just heard, without even being able to see, and they knew this was the Son of David. This was the Messiah. In verse 28, the Bible says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him." They listened. They believed, and they sought after him. They sought after him in faith. Isn't that how you get saved? You have to listen. You have to read and listen to the track or to the scriptures. You have to listen to the preaching. You have to listen to that Sunday school teacher, you have to listen to that soul winner, but you have to listen. And when you are told that you are lost in need of a Savior and that Jesus is a Savior, once you listen, you have to believe that he can be your Savior. And once you believe that he can be your Savior, then you have to, by faith, seek him. The Bible says, Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved, but it's through faith." By grace, that is the love and kindness of God, the understanding that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The grace means it's free to you. It comes as a gift from God. And so you can't purchase it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. You just have to understand it's by grace. And your part is faith. That's why some will not be saved, because no matter what, they just won't believe. Wow. They sought after him in faith, and Jesus wanted to make sure it was their faith that got them to follow after him and just not seeking a physical healing, but they were seeking the Messiah to heal them. And so Jesus questions their faith. Verse 28, when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? He wanted them to know that it was their faith in who he was that was ultimately going to make the difference in their lives. It was their faith in Jesus that will make a difference in our life. Just not saying some words and not coming to a church, not being baptized, not putting your name on a church roll, but your faith that Jesus died for your sins and offers you through grace eternal life. We are to ask in faith. If it's truly in faith, genuine faith in God accepts his will. If he was the Messiah that they believed could heal him, whether he healed them or not, their faith in his being the Messiah would not change. Do we put conditions on our faith? I believe you're the Messiah if you heal me of my blindness. I believe that you're the Messiah if you answer my prayer the way I want you to answer my prayer. I believe you're the Messiah if, and you make up whatever it is that you want to make up to add to faith. And that's not it. Jesus wanted them to know, because that's the only way that we can be saved or find the help of God is through our faith in who he is. Yeah. Genuine faith in God accepts his will, whether it is yes or no. If it's no, if you have faith, you know it's just not at this time. You will regain your sight, just not right now. Because I have a purpose for you being blind. It was this faith that opened their eyes. Look in verse 29. They said in him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, it was their faith that would determine if they opened their eyes and they could see, they truly believed he was the Messiah. If they opened their eyes and they were still blind, they didn't really believe he was the Messiah. They just went through the motions for selfish reasons. Then he touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you, and their eyes were opened. They had genuine faith. And then he says this, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now he said if they really had faith, they would not have went against what he asked them to do. And no, that's not really the case. They had so much faith and they were so excited they couldn't hold it in. You never hear him reprimanding anyone for exalting him. So why is it there? Many say, and I could see that they did not want him to be thronged by everyone coming because they thought that he came just to heal physical infirmities. Could have been. It could have been it was his will for them to be healed, but not everyone. And if they told somebody else what he did, then they would come and not have the faith that they needed to have if they were not healed. Physical healing was not his purpose for coming. Physical healing is not his purpose for being your God, for being your Savior. Being a genie in a bottle was not his purpose for coming. His purpose for coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. Whether or not he heals you of blindness, heals you of arthritis, heals you of whatever it might be that you want healing from, he's not here. He did not come for our physical healing. Although it could be that he will heal you of your physical ailment. And there's no doubt he can do it. But if he doesn't do it, it should not hinder your faith. That ought to just secure your faith in knowing he has purpose. He has purpose. Yeah. Whether he was born blind or naturally went blind, God has purpose. So that was the first two blind men. The next, in verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Do you see somewhat the difference here? The two blind men were able to follow him. They were able to seek after him on their own. They just heard. They was able to hear the word, and after they heard the word, then they acted upon the word that they heard, and they understood this to be the Messiah, and they followed after him. They really didn't need someone else to take them to him. The second one here, the one that had the demonic spirit that led to his infirmity, needed somebody. They brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. If not for another, this man would not have ever heard. He needed to be brought. This man needed someone else to see his spiritual condition and to have compassion. Can I tell you that God places in the hearts of his children to seek others that need to be brought to him that might not come on their own? I believe that's what Jude presented over in the book of Jude. Let me just read this to you. You know the verses, I'm sure, but Jude, right before the book of Revelation, and Jude in verse 20, the Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, knowing that you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit who's going to lead, guide, and direct you, and you being aware of the Holy Spirit's leading, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference." That's soul winning. That's missionary work. That's missionary realizing God has pricked my heart. He's given me a field. He's given me an area that I want to go to and present the gospel to those who would never hear outside of God sending someone to tell them. Come telling you that the United States of America is becoming more and more of a mission field for Christianity. There's so many, even in our own area right here, that have not a clue. And they need someone to come and tell them. And they don't even realize it. This man needed someone else to see his spiritual condition and have compassion. See, there's many that have a need to be brought. Some because of spiritual oppression. Spiritual oppression brought on by a wrong spirit. Not necessarily an evil spirit. Wrong thinking. They're deaf in their knowledge and understanding of their need for Christ. Raised in an ungodly home. Raised in ungodly circumstances. Not raised to love God, not raised to believe God, not raised to understand the Bible, not raised to go to church, not raised to know that they need a Messiah. They're all around. Even in this Christian nation, they're all around us. Now, this world is a mission field, and there are so many that have not a clue. But you wouldn't think that would be the case in the United States of America. But we go out every week and we find those that have never heard. Never heard. Because they weren't raised in church. Can I tell you, if you were raised in church, then you're more accountable to somebody that was not raised in church. You're more accountable. If you were raised to understand the Bible to be the Word of God, you're blessed, whether you realize it or not, you're blessed to believe that and understand that, because at least you have the knowledge to turn to the Bible when you want to turn to the Bible. There's some that don't even know what this Bible says. I hear them ignorantly, even on a lot of the talk shows, talk about how we are to live by the Old Testament. And how that we need to stone people that don't do right. And I'm making fun of it, basically. And they're showing their ignorance. We don't live by the law today. We haven't for some 2,000 years. We're not bound by the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament ways. No, Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He's established for the last 2,000 years. We've had the full understanding, the full revelation of the Word of God to know what Christianity is. And that's what has turned this world upside down is Christianity. Amen. The fact that God loves the world and we are to represent God's love to the world and present to them the truth that God reveals to us is truth. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. But it's not God's will that any should perish and that all should come to that place of repentance, but you have to come to that place of repentance. But if you've never been told that, you can't repent of something that you don't even realize you're guilty of. You're raised in a home with an ungodly spirit. Some are oppressed by an evil presence. Demon oppressed and sometimes even demon controlled parents who have yielded to drugs and alcohol. That they've lost any kind of a natural love and affection for their own children, and they'll sell their children to get money for their drugs. Happening all around us. Probably shock all of us to know the sins that are taking place in the homes in America. We only know it because we know how Satan works. That evil spirit that has so hindered the fathers, and the fathers have not broken the chains of the evil spirit, and their sins are passed down to the generations following them, because their sins are the result of evil spirits that are influencing them, and they will influence their offspring by the very same evil spirits, and it will continue to influence the offspring. And that the only way that is stopped is the more powerful influence that comes into that home, that comes into that individual's life, where they can break the chains of sin. Do you know what that more powerful influence is? Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer, you have Christ in you. You have what the lost world needs to break the chains and the sins of the fathers being passed down to the children. But you have to realize it so that you can have compassion and make a difference in other people's lives. That was this man, this demon-possessed deaf man. He needed someone else to bring him to Christ. Yeah. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. He's able to have the chains broken. All this evil was now gone, and he was able to see Christ as being the Messiah, the Savior. And he was able to overcome this demon-possessed, oppressed infirmity. What was the reaction? That's what we have last. After this happened, the two different kinds of healing. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled. You get somebody that's raised in a moral environment, in a godly house, a God-fearing household, maybe not even in the Word like they should be, but they get saved, and really, I mean, they are new creatures, but they haven't been so engaged in evil, and they haven't been so oppressed by evil spirits and an evil atmosphere. They've been raised with standards. They've been raised with morality. And praise God, when they get saved. And they would still be going to hell outside of salvation, but they get saved. But people don't marvel at that as much. You get somebody that's an old drunk, that's addicted to drugs, and you see them genuinely get saved, and it turns their life around and turns their family's lives around. Can I tell you, that is marveling. Yeah. We have situations like that in the Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's where some of the times I know things that the church as a whole does not know, and it's just rejoicing to see the power of the gospel at work. Yeah. Wow. Many marveled. They said, this is something special. Because of what they've seen and heard and experienced, they would have gotten saved. They would have, by faith, believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. That's what was happening when they was turning the world upside down. But not all would get saved. The Bible says, but the Pharisees. Religion. Sometimes religion is the worst enemy. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Those who would not listen would would actually accuse Jesus of being evil. Can you understand that? How do you call evil good and good evil? And yet it's happening today all around us. The reality was, they that called him evil, they were blind. They were deaf. And they were dumb. And they didn't know it. The hardest ones to get saved is those who think they already know. They're blinded. They're deaf. They're dumb. It's recorded for us so we might understand these things. And I think at the end, don't let them influence you. Look at the truth. Look at the reality. Look how it changed the lives of two blind men. Look how it changed the life of a deaf man who was possessed with an evil spirit. Don't listen to the religionists. Don't listen to the mockers. Keep your faith in the Savior. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Keep your faith. Don't allow them to influence you. We serve a great Savior. And his influence is a powerful influence that can break the chain of the sins of the fathers being passed down to their children. It can set a demon-possessed man free, and it can heal the blind. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and for this next event in the life of our Savior and the teachings that he presented to us. Help us to learn from this and be strengthened by it. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.